and breathing masks. They carry injured civilians from a subway. Dozens of injured people, a constant stream. Paramedics give the casualties oxygen and first aid. There aren't enough gurneys. The injured are laid on the sidewalk and treated. The police stand behind wooden traffic barricades, blocking the street on either side of the subway exit. Ominously, many bodies have been covered. A reporter steps in front of the camera and speaks into a microphone.
We're still learning what happened in the New York City subway around 6 p.m. today. Police have cordoned off an area 2 blocks square around 28th Street and Broadway. Witnesses on the scene have told us about an explosion on a subway train. There have been fatalities, but authorities haven't been able to tell us yet how many. We're hearing that numerous injuries resulted from the crash and derailment, and there are casualties from smoke inhalation. Firemen are working to extract the injured from the tunnel. This is proving extremely difficult in the smoke and darkness. The police commissioner will take a statement later this evening. We'll wait to see if he can comment on whether this incident was an accident or the result of terrorism. All we can say is the city is paralyzed, worse than it's been since the events of September 11th, 2001.
The situation looks bad. For the moment, nothing is clear. This could be an accident caused by a derailed train. It could also be a terror attack. Worse than the Boston bombing, not as bad as 9/11. Police wearing breathing apparatus pile out of a large black van. It's parked behind delivery trucks and cars lining 28th Street. Beat cops are trying to get drivers to move the vehicles out of the way. An impossible task. This is the Flatiron District. Tourist hotels, beauty shops, ethnic restaurants. The police look like hazmat and forensic teams. They're carrying metal cases and heavy-duty flashlights. Single file, they enter the subway. You'd think they'd wait for the emergency crews to clear casualties. The investigators must be in a hurry to examine the wreckage for evidence before the firemen and stampeding civilians ruin it. I sip my beer. The windows are open. A gentle breeze fills the apartment with fresh suburban air, the smell of grass and trees. The camera switches to an aerial view of the city, a wide shot from a news helicopter. Throngs of people spilling from the subways, snarled traffic. A total mess. My phone buzzes. I lift it to my ear. "Breed," I say. The voice on the other end is curt, economical. "It's Lanson." Mark Lanson, one of my best friends. He owns a sporting goods and gun shop in El Paso. I mute the television. "What's up? You see this mess in New York?"
"What mess?"
"Subway. An accident or an attack. Cops aren't saying which. I make heavy casualties, hazmat and forensic teams on site. They're not waiting for the dust to settle."
"Sounds like they have a good reason to be worried."
Lenson sounds distracted. He has more important things on his mind.
"Breed, there's bad news."
"What is it?" Lenson sucks a breath.
"Keller's dead."
I sit bolt upright.
"No. Murdered on his ranch."
"Mary and Donnie?"
"They're okay. Hancock and I are with them. We're staying at the hotel while the sheriff sorts things out."
"When did it happen? Who did it?"
"The killer was found yesterday. The sheriff doesn't know who did it. Could have been illegals or coyotes, but right now it's a guess."
Lenson hesitates.
"Breed?"
"Yes?"
"Breed, they cut his head off."
My stomach hollows.
"They what?" "They cut his head off with a big knife or machete."
I get to my feet. Pace. "I'm coming down. First flight I can get in the morning."
"I have to go. Message me your flight and arrival. I'll meet you at the airport."
"Roger that."
Lanson out.
Images of chaos and suffering continue to stream from the widescreen. What is more tragic? A mass casualty